What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Crossing Broadcast. We appreciate the chat for waiting on hold as we started today at 12:30. Obviously, anyone listening on the podcast, this means absolutely nothing to you. So let's just move on from that. We got a great show for you today. James Harden's off the squad. Sixers got a haul that extends the Joel Embiid championship window. Chris Broussard gave us one of the funniest sports talk moments of all time. We'll get into that. And we'll see how everyone thinks how we did at the deadline. Let's bring on Rush Joy from Snow the Goalie. Let's bring on Jan Jansen from Fox Philly Gambler. I love the Jan, the John.
Jan, I think you put it in Siri, it's Jan Jansen. They say my name.
Yeah, sounds like a strong Swedish NHL prospect.
Yeah, no, I'm very much German, mostly. So yeah, no, okay. No Swedish there for me.
Fellas, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. Obviously, no Kevin Kincaid today. He is fighting a bug. It is Kevin Kincaid flu season for the next 8 months. Yeah. I will be probably running the show for the next 8 months without him scrambling together, crapping together a lineup. So I appreciate you guys for jumping on. Before we get into it, Russ, how was Halloween?
Halloween was great.
Was the cold crop good enough this year? Did the children get the big candy in the neighborhood?
It was. I don't live in the cold country anymore. It was good. It was very good. I would say it was a successful Halloween. Our kids came home with a lot of candy. They did a nice thing, as I put out on Twitter. Good kids. Sometimes kind of little a-hole streak to them, but for the most part, very good. You know.
Russ Joy, proud parent moment. We ran out of four boxes of full-size bars. 120
bars. Damn.
Full-size bars. That's right.
Our 8-year-old, the cold crop was good this year. Our 8-year-old and 6-year-old ran into the house after almost 2 hours of trick-or-treating and brought out candy from their bags because they didn't want anyone to end up without candy. A little Michael Scott crying gif right there. Yeah. There's nothing more in life I love than when parents brag about their kids on social media. It's probably a top 5 thing I love.
Yeah. Listen, man.
Wow, you gotta give your candy.
Oh, also here, one more other thing, Rush Joy did today. I'm bringing the fire today. Join the conversation on YouTube so we aren't forced to.
I'm afraid of that. I saw that tweet. I don't know what the fire is. I've been able to watch Russ. I've never been able to be on a show, so I am. I'm very much. I'm buckled up. I'm ready for whatever happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is the chat gonna take this? Is the chat going to take
who
this?
Who gives a shit if the chat takes?
It's the chat.
All right. With all due respect, I don't care. All right, I've tried to be nice to these people before. I've tried to be nice to this Ford fella. I thought we had made amends. He sometimes says douchey things in the comments. Philly fan, I have no problem with. But, like, let's be real here. All right, Ford didn't look for the tweet. Or maybe it's your fault, Pagan. Maybe you didn't put the tweet out early enough saying that the show was getting moved to 12:30.
That is true. I didn't put it up until 12:04.
You know? I don't know what Philly fan's problem is. I don't think I've ever had an issue with Philly fan, but that's fine. And, again, I will extend an olive branch to Ford. But I have the fire with me today because there are some topics here that we have to get into.
Yes.
Russ is this sports city is just something, man. It's just
I'll just turn my mic off.
Nico's great. Let him go. Nico's great. Yeah. There you go, Nico. You got to acknowledge.
Hey, you let the dogs go. All right. Those are our dogs.
I like this, though, because usually the commenters bully me. Now it's like I have Russ.
Hold on.
Bully
I want to acknowledge this. Ford over here says the dude who can't hang wall art. I guess that's you. Is that you? Maybe he's going after you. Never mind. I'm not going to flame Ford. I thought it was at me. It's not. We're okay. Ford, you got to be, nice guy.
God, I love the comment. There's our chat. My chat is the favorite, the chat is one of the favorite things about this. There you go. No guest that comes on it. The guests we don't know scares the shit out of me. The guests we do know, I know the dogs are going to be unleashed. Can't chain the dogs.
I don't know who this is, but I like this.
Jesus.
Bully this JJ guy over here.
Well, his team should be playing in the World Series right now. So he has no bully opinion right now. Russ,
look, as I've turned the chat against Pagan. We're all on the same page today. Let's go after that fat piece
you
of
lost
shit, James
all,
Harden.
You've lost all control of this, Pagan.
Him, I have lost.
This is what happens, by the way, when you're sandwiched between two wrestling fans. Wrestling
That's
nerd.
Right.
This is what happens.
Oh, God. All right,
and
fine.
And it's Wednesday night, and you know what that means. AEW Dynamite tonight on TBS. My God. All right, anyway. Pagan, go ahead. Take control of your show.
Jesus Christ. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, we're back. Let's talk about James Harden. The trade. I personally love the haul. I love that 2028 pick. I understand the bench got more depth. I think we're still waiting on to see where that first rounder from OKC was. I saw 2026 maybe, but I don't know if that's been confirmed yet. Josh Harris gets on the phone with Steve Ballmer, says, hey, let's get the deal done. It breaks in the middle of the night. I think I'm the only one that was up, ready to go to bed. I see this. Woj doesn't then tweet for another 30 minutes, 45 minutes to let us know the haul. Thought he fell asleep. Russ, I'll go to you because I know you got some fire you want to bring tonight. What did you think about the James Harden haul? What did you think about the Daryl Morey haul? What did you think about James, you know, meeting his Clippers teammates? What do you think about this in the future?
Well, let me say, first of all, Kyle, James Harden wasn't a good fit here. And it kind of is what it is at this point, right? I mean, it's a bit of a nothing burger if you think about it. I mean, they'd already played every game this season without James Harden, so it's not really big. Oh, hold on, guys. I'll be right back. I have the sniffles, and my kids brought home the sniffles, and so I can't perform my job here. Let's get Russ in here to actually have a fucking opinion.
Hey, so James Harden. Here's the problem with James Harden, okay? This is now what his fourth team in 3.5 seasons. Yep. He served a role well here with the Sixers. He actually had value to the Sixers. And yet, because he's a narcissist who decided that I guess he was worth far more than any team in the league thought he was worth, and because he couldn't see that the person who has advocated for him more than anyone else in a front office role in Daryl Morey was clearly telling him, this ain't it, homie, he forced his way to LA. Now, I saw the thing that Scoop Robinson put out, which I love Scoop. Scoop's great. I don't know how true. I don't think Scoop puts out lies. So I want to believe that Scoop's timeline. No. So I want to listen. Scoop follows me on Twitter. Scoop followed me on Twitter after the whole Jalen Hurts and Gene Simmons fiasco. So like we're just gonna. I roll with Scoop. I ride and die with Scoop. Yeah.
Let's call Scoop a half truther. I think that's fair.
Half truther. Okay. So this is where I'm at. Harden just blew a good opportunity to go out to a team where he has to do less. And if his goal was to try to get more on the free agent market, he actively cost himself. Because on any given night, if these guys were healthy, which they won't be, he's now going to actively tank Russell Westbrook, who's had a very solid stretch of games last year and now this year with the Clippers. That's not going to work. If Kawhi Leonard is healthy, he's arguably option one, or Paul George's 1A. The good thing that he has going for him is that those guys are not reliable in any way health-wise. So he will have a role. But if he thought that going from a relatively light Eastern Conference to an exponentially tougher Western Conference is going to help, or is going to help his legacy, he's sorely mistaken. And let us not forget that if there's one team that is consistently more of a choke than James Harden, he's like, The Clippers are like the team level version of James Harden. They get to the postseason, they look great doing it, and then once they get there, they vomit all over themselves. Honestly, it's a match made in heaven, but he's costing himself money or whatever he thought he could get in free agency by going there and now becoming the third option on a good night.
Yeah, it's an interesting team makeup. Four ball dominant guys on expiring contracts that want to get one last deal before they just grow old and retire. It's a weird makeup by Lawrence Frank. I couldn't agree more. Jansen, what do you think this means for the Sixers going forward?
Well, the good thing is I didn't think once they got Harden, they expended, it almost felt like all options that they had. You know, once they got Harden, it was you risked everything to get him, and it's just pray to God this works, because if it doesn't, you know, you just think disaster. So Morey, I can at least give some credit, not credit for getting Harden, even though I thought last year they had a chance. But still, they had a lead in game six to end it, like in the fourth quarter. They did. Like this was a team that was good. The numbers said they were good. They were playing well, and then they choked. I mean, it was a full-on choke. So, and that's Harden's fault, largely entirely Harden's fault, because of the way he played in game six at the end, and also in game seven, him and Embiid did absolutely nothing. But now I think they get options again. I don't know if they're going to get a player that is a high caliber, that is Harden's caliber. I don't know if they need that necessarily, though, for that team, or at least at this year, they just have the option of, if they want to get something at the deadline, something comes up, they can do it. If they want to do something in the offseason, they can do it. But it is not entirely a lost cause now. It is not. You have no idea how to get another star player. Now they have cap room. They have some draft assets as well that they can trade. You know, this is everything that you kind of hoped for when they traded traded Harden. Now you don't get, you know, I think the short term is what people are looking for. They wanted short term now, like Terrence Mann and Norman Powell to play now, to win now. But I don't think you're looking short term. You're looking, and I think Daryl Morey's right in doing this. You're looking long term. You're looking to get a better player than those two. And I think eventually they try and go for that, and hopefully they do, because the way Maxey's playing, they definitely deserve that chance to get another player in to help those two. And
so you think there's a, from, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but you think there's a good chance there's not some big splash at the trade deadline this year? It might be.
I think they're going to look for it. I don't know if they're going to make that move. If I don't know if it's essential for them to do it this year. But it is essential for them, at least at the deadline or the offseason, to use that cap room and draft capital to get something.
So I had this whole thing where I was like, trust the procedure during the summertime. I was really excited about like a really exciting 4-6, maybe even a 3-6 seed Sixers. James Harden off the team, Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, and a bunch of cast of characters around them. I'm kind of getting this, and I think it does good not only for the Sixers, but I think the Sixers fans. Now, credit to the Sixers. People are buying already back in three games into the season, which
Thank you, Maxey. That is all Maxey.
Yeah, which is insane because, you know, I think the Q score for the Sixers was the lowest I've seen it since, you know, like, I don't know, those Doug Collins years where they would just get the 7th, 8th seed, get blown out in the first round. And it was like, what are we doing here? We're in purgatory. But this whole thing about like, this is going to be a very exciting team. Like, I can't wait to watch tonight. It's going to be really like with Nick Nurse's offense and everything, they're moving the ball. Maxey looks awesome.
Oh, it's more aesthetically pleasing to watch for sure.
Yeah. Kelly Oubre.
I don't know how much better it's actually going to be. At least I can say that Maxey is improving at a position and a role that he didn't play well at last year when he was a ball dominant point guard type player. He had to get taken out of that role. So I think this year to see that with Nick Nurse, like that's great for me. And I'm going to tune in just to see how Maxey improves. But until they get that extra guy, whoever that is, you know, there really is a ceiling that is going to be capped on.
There's a ceiling, but it's also like, I think the Sixers fans kind of need an off year without expectations. And I know it's crazy to say that 30-year-old MVP.
Well, they needed a reset. Yeah.
Don't take a gap year. Yeah. This is what, but I think it will do better for Sixers fans' mental health, Sixers fans' relationship with the team, the Sixers' relationship with the fan base to get back in order. I think like a very exciting 3-6 seed era. Trust the procedure. It's not a process, it's a procedure. Russ, I can see you just disagree wholeheartedly.
Well, I think it's notable that you're so excited about the Sixers playing tonight that they actually don't play till tomorrow. You might be confusing.
I thought today was Thursday.
We'll be playing at Wells Fargo Center tonight, 7 o'clock, 6:30, Snow the Goalie Press Row Show. Here's the thing. All right. I like to be fair. I love basketball. Basketball is my favorite sport. The Sixers
like the dribble up and down the court.
I was just about to do that.
The Sixers are by far the team that I let my fandom fly for. Okay. But I'm not stupid. And when I say I'm not stupid, I mean like I don't get myself to this emotional state where I sell myself on a team being so much better than it is. I also look at strength of schedule, okay? They had a competitive game against a Bucks team that was playing their first game together with Dame and Giannis. They played the Raptors, who are whatever. Like, I think they're kind of in basketball purgatory. They played a Trailblazers team that traded away Dame Lillard. That isn't going to be a very good team. That has Scoot, who, like, I don't know, like a lot of preseason hyping about what Scoot is, and it hasn't come to fruition yet. Okay, we're a few games in. Let's talk in 2 weeks or a week and a half after they play the Suns, when they play the Celtics twice. Like then maybe I can get a little bit excited. Do I think that they play aesthetically more pleasing basketball? Sure. Does that amount to anything right now? No. You know, you see like, okay, their dribble handoff numbers are higher. That's great. Maybe that'll take us back to a time where they were handing it off to JJ Redick and they were like, there's some good action sequences with Joel and like, all right, cool. You know, you could sell me on that. I'm happy Doc Rivers is in here. I'm glad that we're not like tying the entire franchise to a team to a guy who hasn't won in 20 years. That's great. Fantastic. However, this team is not a contender right now. Tyrese Maxey's fantastic. I love Tyrese Maxey. I love the affect. I love the disposition, the positivity. The guy is infectious. He smiles. You feel it come through your TV. Like, that's a guy you can get behind 100%. I will never speak poorly of Tyrese Maxey because I think he is easily one of the most exciting young players in the league. However, this is the big thing. You look at all right, this team's not going to make a move, or they might not make a move for a Zach LaVine or a DeMar DeRozan on a Chicago team that like is going nowhere fast. All right, well, if you go through a trade deadline and you don't move any of these assets, then what? Then you get to the offseason, and what's the goal? There are no key free agents that really do help you, which means you've now burned another year of Joel Embiid's career. I know that he's been able to stay relatively healthy where he plays into the postseason, but it is a waste of a year if you don't fortify this team with another top-level star. And then if your argument is, well, maybe you'll make a trade in the offseason, you'll trade off some of these assets on at the draft and get a star player in, that's great. But again, you have nothing to give up because you're not going to give up Embiid and you're not going to give up Maxey. So all of this is great and all of these assets you've collected are great. However, if you're going to just burn a year of his career, it's not great. At least it's not great in terms of maximizing what the team can be with him in whatever his prime is. You can't look at him the way that you would like rely on a LeBron. All right. LeBron is a mess, right? But LeBron is a freak of nature who doesn't get hurt. Joel's not that guy. You know, you're one bad foot break away from Embiid's career being done. So you can't just kind of, you know, punt on a trade deadline. You can't punt on a season. That's organizational malpractice. So I hope they don't do that.
What if it's not a star player? Like, I'm just going back to this Nick Nurse Raptors team I have in my mind.
Well, it's not going to be, yeah, it's not going to be like a high, yeah. It's not going
to
be like
is
a Damian
LaVine a star player to you guys?
I'd be lying.
Yeah,
to
I mean, he's a great, yes. I would say yes, but we're not talking about like a Damian Lillard move here.
Yeah.
Like that was the top echelon. Like that's a top move. You know, yeah. LaVine's the step down from that, but I think you're looking in that range, I would say.
Yeah. What if it's like a, you know, 2026 protected pick goes out and gets like a Kyle Lowry type. And then they use the 2028 pick to get like, no, but I'm going back to,
wait, Kyle Lowry now or Kyle Lowry? Kyle Lowry now, seven years ago.
Okay. I'm giving
maybe
you an example.
Like,
it's just like the NBA is weird. Playoff basketball is weird. The eighth seed made it last year. Like, I don't, is that going to happen all the time?
Absolutely not.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. Expecting the Heat thing to happen.
We've already seen a guy like Nick Nurse take a one star player and a really good surrounding cast to the NBA finals and win. Now, obviously last second Kawhi shot, obviously the Warriors built like paper mache, that series, two guys go out with leg injuries by the end of it and stuff. But I don't think, and it's because I don't think there's a star player really out there that really, like, you know, gets me going, that maybe it's not a star player. What if I told you they flipped this for like a top five pick in the draft? I don't know anything about this year's draft, but like a top five, top 10 pick in the draft this year. Would you hate that?
They can't.
Yes, I kind of would. I don't think you have the time, the luxury of time to do that.
Okay.
Because then you have to develop, then you have to get a year or two with that player to get at anywhere close to a level that should be good enough to help the Sixers compete for like a Eastern Conference or an NBA championship.
I'm just trying to throw scares.
The only way
like
that makes sense,
right.
Kyle, the only way that makes sense is if you agree with Dwayne from Swedesboro's tweet that the Sixers should consider trading Joel Embiid. Okay. And that's insane. All right. Now I will say if you were going to try to present to me a plan that said Nick Nurse is going to be our coach for 5 years, we're going to build around Tyrese Maxey. And like, we love Joel. We love what he brought to the table, but we don't think that we have the ability now to make a move with the assets that we have to bring in another star player to play alongside Joel in free agencies, you know, kind of what it is. And we feel like we have to kind of hit the reset button temporarily and we're going to build around Tyrese. Then you could sell that. You could sell that idea. Maybe.
I don't know.
The fans, I think the fan base would be upset. But like, again, this is where being a logical fan kind of comes into play. And your point before about, hey, the eighth seed has made it to the finals before and all that. And like, oh, Nick Nurse took a team that was a ragtag band of misfits and they won a title. That's great, except I like to live in the world where you try to build the strongest team that you can with the biggest star power you can, because in the NBA, that ultimately is what makes you competitive for titles, not just for one, but for multiple titles over an extended period of time. What you're pointing to are two anomalies, and that's what they are.
Yeah, but we don't
Miami,
have
Miami was an anomaly. Nick Nurse's Toronto Raptors team was an anomaly. And by the way, Kawhi Leonard was a more impactful and meaningful player on that team than Joel Embiid is for the Sixers right now. And so, there, like, to me, there's no debating it. if you're going to go all in, then you have to go all in and get a second star. But I don't think that guy's out there right now. And any team that would try to trade one, by the way, like, they don't want picks for 2026 and 2028 and a swap in 29 or whatever it is. Like, that's not of interest to them.
A rebuilding team would.
Which rebuilding team has a young star player that fits this mold? Like play the hypothetical game. You look at Oklahoma City, who's done, you know, a bigger tank than the Sixers ever did. The one guy who age-wise doesn't fit with the rest of them is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who you had a chance to draft here. They're never going to trade him. They're never going to trade him.
I don't think it would work.
They're never going to. So I don't know. Like, if somebody in the comments has an idea, if there's like somebody that we are flat out missing that should be available from a team that might have had title aspirations and has already found themselves upside down and there's no hope three games into the season, by all means.
Right. And this is the part where Morey, I don't think, did well last time, because he was hyper focused on James Harden, which ended up being great things happened last year. I thought they had a chance, but it does look like that was a risky move compared to what you could have gotten if you would have gotten, you know, a Tyrese Halliburton's name was thrown around everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's a younger player. You could have maybe gotten somebody else in the deal as well, build your depth. So it just seems like Morey has a tough time with this part of it. I think he salvaged what was a pretty impossible situation where it looked like if you didn't get anything, Embiid probably was going to look at what they had and say it's not enough and leave. Now it's, okay, there's an option here. They have at least the capability of bringing somebody in, but there's a chance that the occasion doesn't arise for that to happen, and also Morey doesn't get it done, which I think now that is to me what the concern is now. I think at least that they are in the running is a good enough position to be in. But now here's where Morey has to make his money. You have to get somebody to come here, and it's going to have to be, I hate to say better than Harden, but it's going to have to look logically better than what they did with Harden.
So it seems like we need somebody to become a disgruntled star on a team.
Well, that's what the NBA is. I mean, that's essentially what it is now. Yes. It's waiting for that opportunity.
I'm going down this list of teams, right? Let's play the hypothetical game.
Let's do it.
Boston's not going to trade a star. Milwaukee's not going to trade a star. I don't really believe that there are stars in Indiana, so I don't care. Orlando, probably not. Are the Hawks going to trade Trae Young? No. Also, God help. Imagine how much the city would hate Trae Young. Detroit, no. The Knicks were rumored as being a potential destination for Embiid in a package that would have revolved around Randall and RJ Barrett. No, thank you. Chicago is the only one that makes sense. That could be a LaVine, that could be a DeRozan. I would rather LaVine, but I understand why people might think that DeRozan would fit Nick Nurse's system better.
Minus the fact that he's
afraid to like shoot threes. The Nets, you're not going to do business with. The Wizards, nay, nay.
Hale Bridges?
Stop. The Hornets... Up.
I mean, I would love Mikal Bridges.
His mom works in HR.
It's the kind of, to me, that's the kind of player that you're really missing. That's the kind of level of player I'm thinking. Like, Mikal Bridges is, we're seeing great score now when he's left on his own, and he's really the only option. But it's just he does everything else right. Defensively, he's great. He could be a great, you know, 3-and-D player, and that's kind of what the Sixers need. So that's kind of, I don't think they're going to get Mikal Bridges, but that is the caliber of player. That's the kind of player that I think they should be looking for.
Yeah, a lot of people like Brandon Ingram. A Philly fan came out with that one right now. I've seen that thrown around a little bit. I'm not the biggest Brandon Ingram fan. I think he kind of disappears in a lot of games, but when he's on, he's on. I mean,
I also don't think he fits the need. You need guards on this team. You have a lot of bigs.
Like a wing, like a combo guard?
Yeah, I don't think that's what you need. Although, like, in theory, I like Brandon Ingram's game. I don't know if it works here. So, like, I was just looking to, like, round out the East, but there's nothing else there. If you look out West, like, it's a lot of the same. It's a lot of teams. The West is like this weird thing where you're not going to see the Western Conference really make a big move until closer to the deadline, because I would say that the top three teams will set themselves apart, and then 4 through 10 in a lot of cases are going to be a constant going back and forth. So I don't think that there's like a second really strong tier in the West. So again, like, until you get closer to the deadline and a few of these teams fall out, like, I don't see a scenario where you're able to find significant value there. So
Grizzlies 0-4.
Huh?
Grizzlies 0-4.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Here's what you do. You get Ja Morant into a situation where he posts another picture of himself with a pistol, and then the NBA goes to suspend him. But right before they do, you make a trade and you send a bunch of assets for Ja Morant. You bring him back and you put who's the retired Philly cop on Twitter? Like, you just make him the guy who's with him no matter where he goes. All right. John Morant doesn't go anywhere. He just stays with this guy, and they make sure he gets to and from the basketball arena. There's no Instagram live, no nothing. Then we're okay. Like, I'll get into that, you know?
Oh, man.
Obviously, Philly fan said Buddy Hield. I like Buddy Hield.
Oh, I can't. I mean,
he's,
I like
he's
Buddy
not a guy that takes
like,
over the top either, though. Like, yeah, I'm no, not sure I, he's
I think
a winning
everybody's
player.
Too attached to him because of the trade deadline last time when they got Harden, because his name was thrown around.
And the trade deadline the time before. Yeah, and then the free agency class the time before. Like, Buddy Hield has been rumored here for like five more than Mike Trout.
I think we can let that go.
I love this. Go get Russ Westbrook. Love that.
Well, I mean, that team will blow up by the end of the year. So
you think so? I don't know.
That team? Oh yeah. There's going to be Terrence Mann is going to release so.
I'll tell
many.
You what. The graphic look good when you have those four guys on a graphic. It looks great until they get on an NBA court and they start playing
2016.
Together.
Did you see?
I was going to say that picture has gotten more run than those four will get together in a game this season. Yeah. There's practically no chance.
The one thing that you can hold your hat on, and obviously, like, we don't know who's going to win this trade until the picks are decided, Daryl Morey goes out and gets. But the one thing you can hold your hat on is that this isn't going to work, and James Harden is going to be miserable again, and he's probably either going to be on a team next year or he's going to at least demand a trade by this time, you know, by deadline next year, in my opinion.
Can we have a moment of silence for Furkan Korkmaz's dignity? Assuming that report was true, that he wanted to be part of the deal, but neither the Sixers nor the Clippers thought it was a good idea, so it wasn't included. That poor guy.
Oh, I know. I love that report comes out. He just takes a stray from it. I'm like, oh, yeah, Furkan wanted it to get traded. He did.
This is the longest hostage.
To go nobody wants
anywhere.
Him.
Poor guy.
Thank God. Anything else on the Sixers before we head off that topic?
Okay. Other than Tyrese Maxey being great right now.
Yeah, Tyrese Maxey is great. Giving out candy last night. Joel Embiid
was he
really? had his Halloween party. De'Anthony Melton dressed up as himself.
So a bad basketball player? That's great.
Whoa. I'm a Melton guy. Sorry. I'm a D-Melt guy.
I was too. And then every time I said I'm a Melton guy, he had a bad game in the playoffs. And
yeah, Craig, can you pull up the video of James Harden walking into the locker room? Terrence Mann's face here is all time. Just looking up at Harden, looking like he wants nothing to do with him because he did just steal his minutes. But also he has to stay ready because, you know, James Harden could demand a trade.
That is the lowest handshake I've ever
seen. That was a weird hand. I was going to say that. Right? The handshake was so weird.
Craig, can you go back to like this 17 second mark or so? There's a moment here with Harden right there. Now pause it right there. Go back to like when he was like side facing 13 seconds or so. Harden right here looks like that guy who's been like texting your buddy's girlfriend and he shows up to the party, not expecting your buddy to be there and thinks he's going to have like a clear lane to the girl. And he walks in like wearing a collared shirt, you know, a little extra cologne on. And then he sees the boyfriend. And he goes, oh, damn, I don't want to.
Why has he got three phones? Why does James Harden need three phones?
One for work, one for pleasure, one for Cinnamon Diamond and whoever else is at the club.
That's insane.
Everything about this is awkward. Like, why is he so timid walking in there?
Where's the applause? Why? Wouldn't you think that there'd be some applause by the Clippers employees? Like, where are the other two? Where's Kawhi?
Where's Paul George? That way. Go over there.
I feel like I've never seen this kind of access in a locker room either. Like, do they always let the beat reporters in before the games and stuff like this? Like, I feel like this is weird. Usually it's on the hall. It's out in the hallway. Like,
was it a press conference that was about to happen? What is this?
There was no press conference.
No. Compare this, though, to when the Sixers brought Harden on board. There was the video of him hugging Daryl Morey next to the plane, right? We got him. And then here it's just like,
The Clippers probably don't have a beat reporter that stands outside of the airport waiting for him.
That's true.
They need their own Johnny Airports over there. They need Johnny LAX over at...
Look, LA, if you need a Johnny Airports, I'll throw my name in the ring. But yeah, that handshake's awkward. Have you ever seen a handshake that is done at the hips? Like I've never seen that before.
I don't know. Maybe
it's a low handshake. I don't know what that means, what that represents, but it wasn't a dab or anything. It wasn't, you know, this buddy buddy. It was a very much a handshake at the hips. It's the weirdest little, handshake I've ever seen. Little,
like, what are you doing? Is that? It's your hands.
A little neck muscle. like it was like two cats, two dogs each other.
He's all right. Looking away. Yeah, Harden's looking way away from him when they do it. It is awkward.
Dude, thank God we're body language experts and we definitely know what's going to happen with these guys and how much they don't like each other.
Pagan, do you want to talk about the thing that's tangentially affiliated with James Harden? A little media story, a little media nugget.
Go ahead.
The little thing that happened on Fox Sports. We'll talk about that.
Oh yeah, we do got to get into that.
Kind of do, don't you?
Craig, I can't start until I watched the video again. I watched it 100 times.
I don't play that with the audience.
I have a hard time watching cringy moments. And that one I watched the first time and I couldn't watch it again.
Greg's saying no, we can't play it.
I don't think it's a good call. Nah, I wouldn't.
All right. I wouldn't. Well, I think everyone knows about
it. As a legal expert here at Crossing Broad and XL Media, I'll tell you. I don't think it's a great idea.
Well, if you saw the video of Chris Broussard, and I'm sure you have if you spent any time on Instagram or Twitter, he went full R word. And as Robert Downey Jr. said, you never go full R word. And he said on Fox Sports 1, Craig, can we at least bring the reaction of the host up? There's got to be
That's a meme. That guy's a meme.
So it's Nick Wright. It's Chris Broussard talking about James Harden's fit. And Nick Wright doesn't think it's going to be a good fit. And all of a sudden, Chris goes, do you think he's R-word? And the host's face was absolutely perfect. I don't know the producer in there right now, but for them to catch this shot of the guy going full eyebrow at the perfect time, like, give that person a raise. Like,
yeah, because if I was a producer in that moment, I would have froze. Like, what do we do?
So it sucks that Kinker's not behind this, not here right now, because I really want to know, like, the behind the scenes, because you got to understand, like, you know, Fox executives are probably calling right now on the red phone.
100%.
Producers are like, what the hell just happened? Like,
we need to jump out of this segment. I'll say back in Eyewitness News, when this happened, and everybody knows this.
Why is that
this
so happened, good?
This happened at 2 in the morning after a Philadelphia Union game. We had a contributor come on the air and drop an inappropriate word. And I said, listen, it's 2 a.m. on Eyewitness News. Who really is even watching at that point? But they wanted the guy publicly flogged. So,
wow. And did they flog him publicly?
Well, they sent him to Boyertown. And I used to play in Boyertown.
It's definitely a worse punishment.
That is ridiculously good. Listened to Kevin Kincaid one too many times that if I even closed my eyes, though, I would just think it's Kevin right there. Like, if you ever caught him when we did the Union pregame and postgame shows, if you ever caught him in the postgame as Kevin, I would have just put you on. I would have thought it was Kevin.
We're going to have to plan this one out.
Yeah,
of the Union Reds series. The instant apology, though, if Craig has it, is worth showing.
Okay, so we can show the instant apology?
The instant apology, 100%. Okay. 100%, yeah. But Broussard is in this, like, weird place that, like, Rick Bucher found himself in for a while, where, like, all right, you were cast off from ESPN. You're still trying to stay relevant. And I think Broussard has a more consistent role there than, like, a Bucher does. I think, I want to say Bucher's with MSG Network or something, or SNY or something.
But, yeah, you can listen to Chris Broussard on Fox Sports The Gambler at nights. So
there you go.
Him and Rob Parker.
Still? Yeah.
We'll see.
Have they sent a press release?
You know what? Find out tonight.
Yeah. That's right. But that segment, that part, like, that thing that he said, right? You have to know you can't do that. Especially in the media. You have to know you can't do that.
He definitely forgot that he wasn't around the audio. He will. Hold on. He definitely thought he wasn't around the dinner table with friends and forgot that he was being watched in front of hundreds and thousands of people. Craig, play the apology, please.
Let me apologize for using that word. I have my first cousin. We just put him to, he died a few months ago, a month or two ago. He was developmentally disabled. So I didn't mean to use that word.
Of course. I apologize
to the audience and everything.
Oh, that's very kind of you. I don't think
that
that's the best
don't worry about it, Craig. You don't have to play. But the best part is Nick Wright going, I don't think anyone's going to kill you for that. You're fine. You're good.
Also, that's very kind of you.
That is definitely Nick Wright. Like, let's please move on from this.
Yeah.
Like, it's already happened. It's already out on the internet. Please stop talking about it.
My favorite part is that he justified it being his first cousin. And it was just like, if that was my second cousin, yeah, I should be fired. But you know what? My first cousin, we had a bond. Like, you'll never understand. Yeah, we did put him down. But we put him down was like, as he's about to like, yeah, we put him. He's dead.
I think he was trying to say we laid him to rest. Maybe he was cremated. And so he like caught himself in that. I'm not really sure. That's probably
a story you just don't tell. You just don't say any of it. Just apologize, move on. I don't know why he needed the story to go with it. And then it sounded even worse because he's trying to say, you know, that's his cousin, and then went off on this.
Yeah, Philly fans right about this one. Like 100%.
Oh, it's definitely is. Yeah.
Oh, this is my black friend. this is the black guy, my black friend.
Can't be racist. No. I have a black friend, they say.
Yeah, my cousin was mentally challenged. So, you know, I can say that word. This is me being like, no, I got a black friend. What do you think? I got a black friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't do any of that. For those young aspiring to be on where Chris Broussard is, don't do that. Any of it. Don't say the word and don't use that whatever apology that was. Don't do it.
You miss higher learning. You miss
went through his head. Besides
you miss education, Russ.
Huh?
You miss education, Russ? Because no. I know this is this would probably be insane. This would be an insane PTA meeting or an insane teacher's meeting if some teacher let this go in the middle of the classroom.
I'm gonna tell you a fun story real quick about things that teachers can't.
Or is this
say.
A Chris Broussard story? Is this actually
yeah? This
a fun
is
one
this is
okay.
This is I don't know. So there was
your first cousin's still
alive? Stop. So I used to. I used to be a union rep for the teachers, right? So I was a teacher, but then I'd go in and I'd have to like take notes and advocate on somebody's behalf when they did something stupid, allegedly. And there was one teacher who got called into a meeting in high school, because she said the word hell because she was teaching a subject that they were using literature and they were talking about Dante's Inferno. And she said the word hell. The parent was offended. So I just want people to know that, like, as you're thinking about the state of education right now, that was two teachers, three administrators, someone from the district, and parents all had to waste at least an hour of their day to go address that because some parents are dumb. All right, continue.
What was her final verdict?
It was like a slap on the wrist, and also a if I remember correctly, it was like an improvement plan. Mm. Which is you know put into place. It's a nice thing to say in front of.
What's the problem with saying hell though? Like, what's the
whoa. High school child's never heard such language.
I'm saying the H word.
You might be able to say that on the Fox Philly Gambler stream.
I have right. I've said it before.
We like to say H.
But I'm the son of a Catholic, so I think I'm okay here. You know.
There you go.
Yeah,
I love a good performance plan. Those things never went anywhere. In corporate America,
he's the son of a Catholic. Let's get his opinion on the Middle East conflict and Jackson Frank's tweets from a few weeks ago. Shall no? Okay.
NFL trade deadline. Did Howie do enough? 610-632.
Thank you for moving on from that.
Yeah. seriously though, I think Howie did enough. Blah, blah, blah. I don't have to get into that. Kevin Byard, great, traded Kentavious Street for some picks. The NFC contenders who made moves: the Lions, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Seahawks traded for Leonard Williams. And then, of course, I'm happy with Josh Harris. He gets James Harden out of here. And then he has a huge hand, according to Diana Rossini.
In helping keep Jalen Hurts healthy and getting those two
trading
guys out
Chase
of here.
Young to the 49ers for a third-round pick. And because they've
awful
developed
trade.
Head coaches like D'Amico Ryans and executives that are people of color, they get a third-round pick back probably this year. And if Chase Young walks, they get another third-round compensatory pick. I couldn't believe this came across the wire at the end. Are you nervous, Janssen?
No, not. I think the only thing they could have done was a running back, but I their stubbornness just isn't going to allow them to move off of Gainwell or Scott. I think they've needed to addressed that before. It's even worse now that they have to use Gainwell a lot more. They didn't really use him much last year. They're using him a ton this year. They have to move off of him. He's just bad. Now, the thing is, you have a running back that would fit the bill already on your practice, not practice squad, but inactive roster. Yeah. But other than that, you know, I think shoring up the secondary, especially safety, was great. There's really no moves you can make there. I think linebacker, maybe you could have gotten one, but I think I've been impressed with the linebacker play so far. Now, of course, it's very thin, and those guys could easily regress at some point. But so far, I'm happy with it. And with the way your defensive line's playing, it doesn't really matter all that much. So I think good there. The only thing I really would have wanted was just an extra running back. But again, their stubbornness just won't allow that.
Do you think they're keeping Rashad Penny inactive just to keep
him healthy? I think they just don't know what a good running back looks like. I truly think they don't know that. I mean, DeAndre Swift didn't get the full bulk of carries until week two. And running backs get... coaches get running backs wrong, it seems like, a lot. Because I've seen this around the league. I don't know, just from examples or things that I've seen. Like, Doug Peterson was trying to make Tank Bigsby a thing, and it was actively almost losing them games. Then they realized, oh, Travis Etienne's our best player. He's been the feature back for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and now they go on this big winning streak. He's your best player. You give it to him. The Eagles are running into a problem where Swift is getting more carries than he ever has and taking the bulk of a feature back role that he never has before. And now they have to use Gainwell and Scott, and they just don't cut it. So I don't know. I don't think they're mishandling that in terms of trying to save somebody like Penny. I just don't think they think he's any good.
Russ, anything to add?
I have to say, I'm not concerned about the Eagles' lack of moves on deadline day. I am very concerned about this for the 49ers. I'm concerned by the 49ers move. To quote Bill Simmons here, let's get the tic-tac camera up on the ringer. I think that San Francisco missed an opportunity here. They're going out. These 49ers fans always talk about how great their pass rush is and how great their defense is, and yet they felt the need to go trade a mid-round pick for this guy, for Chase Young, when they have a very glaring weakness. They need a starting quarterback, and they didn't address that at the deadline. So I don't know what San Francisco's doing. If you're an Eagles fan, you should be doing jumping jacks in the street. You know, really? Like, yeah, why not? The 49ers,
agree, by the way.
The sooner that the 49ers realize that Brock Purdy's not the guy, that's when you start worrying as an Eagles fan. But the fact that that team and that fan base have sold themselves on the idea that this, like, irrelevant checkdown machine is going to be the future of their franchise, by all means, you continue to take yourselves out of serious contention in the conference. I never even look at Dallas as a threat because Dallas, just like James Harden and the Clippers, vomit all over themselves when games actually matter. But, like, I didn't honestly expect San Francisco to go after a quarterback. But, like, at some point, Brock Purdy's going to lose them enough games or is going to be responsible enough for not taking the big shot and hitting it enough that they're going to realize they need a quarterback. And at that point, then you do have to start worrying if you're an Eagles fan. But I don't think the Eagles could have really done much. I do think it's interesting that it was still being set up until the deadline day that they were being active. I'll tell you one guy that I was disappointed they never went after, and he also plays for Tennessee. I was really surprised that in the offseason, Derrick Henry wasn't moved. And I think that you could still have made a case that there is a package that would have been enticing enough to go get him to be your lead back. Because if you go into the postseason knowing what this offensive line is capable from in the rushing game, and you can hit them with the ground and pound that Henry hits you with, and then switch things up with Swift, that's game over. Like,
yeah,
I know that I'm Mr. Take the shots while you have it. I was consistent about that with the Sixers. Like, you have a limited run with Joel Embiid. You look at what this Eagles team is and also staying relatively healthy. You have a legitimate shot here, a pretty clear path in the NFC. If you were able to shore up the running back position with another stud, imagine what that does in the postseason. That gives you arguably the best wide receiver tandem, one of the best tight ends in football running underneath, and versatility and reliability that, by the way, if something were to happen to DeAndre Swift where he would get hurt, which he has pretty much done every year of his career, you have a legitimate stud that you can put in for him. That's the one concern I had going into the season was running back depth. It remains a concern. Maybe they are trying to play chess here, seven-dimensional chess, and they're not playing Penny because they want him to be healthy for if and when there's an injury at the position.
If they do that, I'd go nuts.
That's what makes the most sense to me. Like, I know we're worried about, like, Rashad Penny, but he's shown flashes on other teams.
That's just flashes. He's been great. Like yeah. The type of numbers that he puts up are elite. It's just been injuries. So yeah. I don't, right. I mean, if that, this is what it is, just saving him for a late season run. And that's to me, like the Derrick Henry type, that's what Rashad Penny is. So Rashad Penny's just a straight up, you know, runner. He's not pass catching. He's not anything. Probably doesn't even run well when you do zone, read zone options. You're probably best when you're under center in a single back. That's where I think he works best. You can maybe do some normal running stuff in shotgun formations, but he to me isn't that kind of running back, the same way Derrick Henry is. But I feel like you can change your offense a bit to kind of fit that. You need to run somewhat. You need to have a running back because they don't have it at this point. Even DeAndre Swift is slowing down and their running game is suffering because of it. You know, we have an analyst a lot in this city that likes to say, well, we should run the ball more. Well, how? Who's going to run it? I think that's the question we need to keep asking. And that's the problem for me is that it's not how many carries, it's the quality of them, and the quality's gone way down. And they didn't do anything to fix that. Now, maybe it is everybody's pointing to the correlation of Cam Jurgens being out and the running game getting worse. I don't think it's that. I just think the running backs, have, especially Kenneth Gainwell, I want to go back to that. He's a bad player. They just aren't good enough at that. And I think they needed to find somebody. I don't know if it needed to be a Derrick Henry level, but a Derrick Henry type certainly would have been good. And I think they have that. They just don't want to use him.
How do you feel about Josh Harris? Josh Harris, now Commanders owner, Sixers guy as well.
He's doing great. Love him.
One game out.
Harden out of here.
One game out from the playoffs, and they're selling at the deadline. Just trying to totally upend that franchise and the stink of what Daniel Snyder gave him.
Well, it's weird because they like are half resetting because these are guys that they just don't want to pay. They don't want to pay Chase Young. They don't want to pay Montez Sweat. So they're getting at least draft picks out of it, even though I don't think they got enough compensation back for a player like Chase Young, who was the number two overall pick in the NFL draft and was playing really well when he was on the field. So it does feel like you're getting a big time discount for that, which shouldn't have happened. But I feel like they should be doing a bit of a reset. A part of that, though, is going to be Ron Rivera. If this is the move that's being made, I think if you're Ron Rivera, you have to think, okay, well, they're kind of changing things up here.
He's got to do you can't fire me, I quit right now. He's got to resign.
I think he has to see the writing on the wall that they brought in Eric Bieniemy. They basically forced that in there of this guy needs to run our offense. We need to do things different. And eventually they're just going to say, all right, well, Rivera's just not working and it's out of here. So I would probably say, as my phone is ringing, I would probably say that Ron Rivera is going to be out. And these are kind of the moves that are showing you, at least foreshadowing, that there are going to be some wholesale changes with Washington.
Russ, anything more on the Eagles? Mike Lombardi, wrong again on a prediction for another Eagles coach.
So I was listening to Mike Lombardi's appearance on The Ringer with Bill Simmons before his son got fired, right?
Lombardi's I didn't even know his son was on the Raiders
I didn't either until he's on VSiN. He has a show there, and he was saying, I'm partial to the Raiders. Yeah.
Like this guy, I'm sure.
No, I don't watch McAfee, so I don't.
I'm sure he's a good dude, but like, I don't understand how he gets paid for this analysis and stuff. He's everywhere.
He's genuinely bad.
Dude, he's like Tannenbaum, man. As long as you were just a GM in the NFL, you have a job for life.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. I didn't even like he was a GM for the 13 and 14 Browns. The Browns.
I know he was talking about. I remember he was on his VSiN show and he was saying, you know, I've made some bad moves, don't get me wrong, but not like Ryan Poles bad. I'm like, okay. Well, I know Ryan Poles is bad, but you're also sitting in a chair right now speaking into a microphone. Yeah. Not to say he's a terrible analyst. I like watching him a bit in some ways because he is just kind of unfiltered and will say whatever. But yeah, there's a bit of an ego there, I'd say.
Howie and Jeffrey Lurie need to hire him as a consultant next time they need to hire a coach, and they need to sit him in the room and they'd be like, hey, what do you think about this guy? And anyone that he doesn't like should shoot to the top of the coaching list because he's been wrong now on Nick Sirianni. He's been wrong now on Doug Peterson, and it's great that he's now immortalized in one of the greatest speeches of all time in Jason Kelsey's. You're just shaking your head there, Russ.
It's whatever.
Wow. Unlike you to have
channeling his inner Kevin Kincaid there.
It's whatever. I saw my mom, Mary Kincaid, commented in the comments below. Just want to know I'm feeling okay. I just have the flu.
Mrs. Kincaid, how is she gonna
be so confused. Like, why is this happening? It's okay.
She's like, I didn't know my son.
Unless she's not watching. If she's got like YouTube pulled up on the TV and she's like just doing like stuff around the house, she's gonna be like, oh, Kevin's on. And then she looks, it's not Kevin.
Hey, I got a World Series update for
people. Let me just say that stuffing last Thanksgiving, kind of a nothing burger.
He went after his mom's stuffing. Can you believe that?
Stuffing. World Series update for people who refuse to watch the World Series. I got it for you right here. Last night was game 4. Texas was up 2-1. Bullpen game for both teams. Nothing like a bullpen game to get people into the World
Series. I think Russ loves bullpen games.
Yeah, this is going to be
these people.
Go ahead.
These people, Pagan. I keep getting told baseball is not a dying sport. Oh, baseball is great. Baseball's back and better than ever. The pitch clock is going to make baseball relevant again. A bullpen game in the World Series. A bullpen game. The two best teams in Major League Baseball left in the postseason don't have a fourth starter. What the hell is that? They don't have a fourth starter.
What the fuck are those balloons?
I have no idea.
Why did that just happen?
I don't know.
Is it your birthday? What is that? This looked like the birthday balloon. So you popped
out. Was that Craig?
That wasn't Craig.
What was that?
What the fuck was that?
I have no. Is that a StreamYard built-in thing? All right, anyway, see, now I lost it though. But like, seriously, two best teams in Major League Baseball, no fourth starter. How does that happen?
Well, I mean, they're in the World Series, Russ. So obviously, something good happened.
It's bullshit. It's such a nonsense. Like, it's such nonsense to have a bullpen game in the World Series. Somebody's got to figure it out. If you need to space out the World Series a bit to have there be a gap between 4 and 5 so you get the first starters back in there, then fine. But that's a disgrace. Imagine if during the NBA Finals, game 4 rolled around and the Heat and the Nuggets last year said, oh, well, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and Jimmy Butler, they're going to take the game off. They got to do some load.
Why are you going Jewish Long Island woman
load
right now?
Management. They got to manage their loads, okay? And they'll be back for game 5. Pause. Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. What's the point? That's the best baseball has to offer. It's already the lowest rated World Series in history. And they thought, you know what? We're cool. Major League Baseball. Yeah, we're cool. Bullpen game. By all means. Great. It's great TV. The intrigue of the sport. Get to really, decide which manager pushes the right buttons on the bullpen. Are you kidding me?
That's true.
Yeah, and I don't know what the fix would be because I would consider the Braves. The Braves would have probably had bullpen games. Mm-hmm. Didn't the Braves have one against the Phillies? If I'm not mistaken, might have had one because they were dealing with injuries. There was a lot of that in the postseason. I think every team had to deal with it. Dodgers had injuries. I know the Braves had injuries because of Charlie Morton. Phillies had some problems. Tywin Walker wasn't pitching well at the end. So I don't know what the fix is, but yes, I would rather. I've grown accustomed to bullpen games. I guess I understand the reasoning for them, especially when it comes to facing a lineup a certain amount of times. I get it, but it is. It's not as fun as, when you get the top aces, when you get a Zach Wheeler and somebody else going across from him that is worthy of ace status. That is more appealing. And that's one of baseball's biggest problems is that sometimes your stars just don't, they can disappear a lot in baseball games, and it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, and it's probably the solution is a shortened season. I know that they're going to look into the 5-day layoff between wild card and the division series, which I don't particularly love or hate. I think, when there is a 5-day layoff, you're just asking for more bullpen games if they are going to shorten it. I mean, I guess the fix is probably like maybe expanding rosters. I don't know. I mean, but I think Russ, you nailed it on the head. Can't have a bullpen game. I don't want to watch, honestly, I couldn't even name.
I guess this also just is what baseball had to deal with this for a while, that analytics was changing the game in such a way that it was changing how it was played and how it was ultimately viewed. And this is part of it, because I think the reasoning makes sense. And for Rob Thompson, the best example is game 1 against the Braves. Ranger Suarez has been an excellent postseason pitcher, but he had the strategy of working matchups. And as long as the analytics say this matchup is going to work, certain amount of times through the lineup, it's not going to work. A righty lefty matchup's better here than, whatever the matchup would be. That's going to take precedence over what just put a starter out there because you have to. It's always going to be whatever the numbers tell you. And a lot of managers are going based off of numbers. And that's what it's saying to them. You know, a lot of teams are seeing that from the Rays. We see it from a bunch. I think we even see it at times from Houston, some other teams that use that kind of strategy. It's just part of baseball now. And I have no idea how to get that part of it out of there. They've done a good job of getting at least some of the less fun parts out of baseball with the pitch clock and now, you know, bigger bases. So there's more stolen bases, things like that. But it is getting difficult to watch those bullpen games.
Yeah. I mean, analytics probably makes baseball more boring than it does other sports.
Absolutely. I kind of agree with that.
Did you see the thing going around about the Raiders? The Raiders firing?
It's not real.
I see people saying that it was on The Athletic.
That's the greatest.
It's PFT commenter, and he does it every time. He uses the font from The Athletic.
I wish this was real.
Oh,
I
wish
it was real. The fortune cookie? That's great.
Yeah.
That's great stuff.
I love
so
it.
So anyway, to finish my World Series update before...
Nobody wants to talk baseball, Pagan. What do you
know. Before Russ
you basically just tanked this show.
The only person who had won, the D-backs bullpen that was unhittable became hittable and made the Phillies look like chumps. And Texas is probably going to take it even without Adelay Garcia.
Listen, get Sanfilippo on here to tell you, like, he can wax poetic and tell you about how great baseball is and how this is actually good for the game and its growth. And, blah,
and
blah,
I love
blah,
baseball. Blah. I'll say that as somebody that loves baseball, but I understand the issues with it. You know, that's the thing is, I don't know the fix to that part. How do you get your superstars and especially star pitchers to get more shine because they have to rest? And obviously analytics tells them certain things of how much they should rest, who they should go after, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know the fix to that. They fix some other things, but that's going to be the hardest one is how to continually get your stars in the biggest stages.
Make Mike Trout leave Los Angeles of Anaheim. force these guys out of Miami, you know, force these guys out of Milwaukee and the south side of Chicago. Like, I mean, that's probably the biggest bet. I mean, who's the draw right now? Who's still playing? Like Garcia's out. Scherzer's out.
Corey Seager,
I guess, is the draw. I mean, how many people know who Corey Seager is?
The Arizona Diamondbacks have essentially none. Because that's a young roster. Those guys could eventually, but Corbin Carroll's still a rookie. That's still somebody that we're finding out who he is. We're still figuring out who Corbin Carroll actually is. But Corey Seager's been around. He's been in World Series. So that's really, to me, the only one outside of, again, like Max Scherzer.
I would be shocked.
In big games, things like
I would
that.
Be shocked. I could go on the streets anywhere in the East Coast and be like, hey, who's Corey Seager and who does he currently play for? And I would probably poll 100 people if we're doing this Family Feud style. I don't know if I'd get 50%. Honestly,
which is a shame because he's been great for a while.
You have to remember too, like you mentioned that Millville fraud. he doesn't want to be anywhere near the postseason at this point. How could he be at the Eagles home game to catch the ball?
He came home.
A touchdown celebration. If he
came
home,
Eagles are
had
playing
to actually play in the postseason. Imagine
if he came home, he could do both. You guys got anything else? Any Flyers? Should people be tuning into the Flyers? I watched my first Flyers game in a year and a half against the Carolina Hurricanes, and then baseball came on, so I flipped it over. Yeah. And Monday Night Football.
They play the Sabres tonight. Sabres aren't a good team. Flyers are a whatever team. I mean, you could tune in. If you do, you go to the number one pregame intermission and postgame show, the Press Row Show, available on the Snow the Goal YouTube channel. You know, 6:30. Bundy comes on for intermissions and postgame.
Is
again,
it good,
I mean, it's number one rated.
Not?
We've been told it's the number one. We outdraw the radio and TV.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, people are saying, I don't know, I haven't seen the numbers, but people are saying, they just say it's the best show they've ever seen.
Do you want Kincaid to do a radio wars on it? A streaming wars?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah,
Kincaid.
I sort of got mentioned in my first radio wars. I was proud
of
that. Not by name, but just part of like Fox Sports The Gambler and crew and like some folks over there. So I didn't get the name, but I at least got acknowledged as a whole.
You got to hold Kincaid's feet to the fire on that. You know,
I
Mr. Journalistic Integrity over
all
there.
All right, all right. You know, you're coming at my co-host all wrong. Do it again, I'll stab you in the face for stuttering.
Hey, yeah, you know, why don't you put me on blast on your Twitter account with 200 followers because you got yourself thrown off, you know, attacking Blooper, all right?
That's fine. We're growing.
All right?
No.
Stud Muffin.
Dude, God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers, okay? I will reload that account.
I'm gonna get really pissed off when that account that you just started passes me in about a week.
That's fine. Follow CB Kyle Pagan. We've done pretty good so far. 361. I'm surprised it's even that high. But I did get back on Twitter. Elon nuked my shit. Thanks, Blooper.
It's a shame.
But I'll keep. We'll monitor that. I'll send some nice messages to Elon. Maybe I'll storm San Francisco headquarters. Or not. Or maybe I will.
Jan Janssen in a bad place. But did you see that media outlet in Philadelphia that has not gained traction like they hoped it would, who's suspended for or unable to do it for 6 months? Did you see they're now starting national shows that are going to compete with their local shows?
Really don't want to do this. I don't want to give them any more pub than we've already
given. I'm not naming them, but people know. But they're starting national shows now that are going to run at the same time as the regional shows that have already lost significant viewership. I don't know it's amazing.
The Chihuahua always comes out when he's on the program.
I need venture capital to back me with a bad idea. And I can lose a ton of money and sell people on the idea of expansion. I need that. So somebody out there has VC capital, by all means, get in touch with me. We'll figure it out. Because it's happening. It's happening right here in Philadelphia. It's crazy. I love it.
Nipping at the heels. Yeah, I'm the only one that's not on board now on that thing. So at least if you got to reach out to me at this point, Russ, I'm the only one left. Nipping at the heels. I got everyone else.
Here comes a chihuahua. They're going to do 10 million. Don't forget, though, in Philadelphia, they're going to do 10 million in profit this year.
If it was a bad business decision, it was a bad business decision. We'll find out in a couple of years. I don't have any thoughts right now.
They've always been within a year. Any of those guys who aren't signed to multi-year contracts?
Oh, my God. All right. Hey, Janssen, can you give somebody, you're the movie guy here, give someone a recommendation on what to watch. Let's go.
Well, I just watched a lot of Film Fest, which was amazing. Film Society does some great work. I recommended, it came out last year. A lot of the movies I watch now are all you have to buy. So last year, Tar, if anybody hasn't watched Tar yet. I gave out that recommendation yesterday to somebody. So it's in my mind of a recommendation. Very good film. Cate Blanchett is very good in it.
Yeah, if you don't know John is a movie connoisseur. He's a movie buff.
Yeah, you really came after me today about that. Yeah, stop watching the latest indie classic. I was actually playing Resident Evil 4, so I'll have you know.
It's either one or the other. It's a video game where you're watching some horror
movie. I don't watch
any
sports. I don't know why I have a sports show or people invite me on. I play video games and watch movies, apparently.
Johnny, you could have fooled me. You're a very eclectic man when it comes to sport.
I try to be.
Yeah.
And John, you said you're a wrestling fan. Do you have any predictions for Tony Khan's important announcement?
We're already gone over too late.
It's not going to be that important.
No one cares. The only thing we should talk about Cody Ross is how I look like him on this program.
Cody Ross?
Cody Rhodes?
Oh, Cody Rhodes. Yeah. You're talking about MLB baseball.
Man, you Chandler Parsons.
Yeah.
Chandler Parsons, man. I'm glad that clip resurfaced. That was great. I love that clip. Hang it in the Smithsonian.
That guy's the man. He's the best. I hope he's doing well wherever he's at. And I hope
really get Cody Rhodes comparisons though.
All the time.
I don't see that.
It's the square head. Anybody with a square head.
That's fair. All right. I see that.
Cody Rhodes. You know what though? All the time.
Craig, pull up that middle one, the Hell in a Cell, where he's got the torn pec. Oh. The one with the independent. Oh. Open an image in new tab. We don't want the whole article to open. Just pull up the image in a new tab real quick.
$250,000 is the producer.
I know you think that he would know how to do it, but
can you leave the poor guy alone?
I'll tell you what, Pagan though. Here's the thing though. I know for a fact that if Pagan tore his pec, would he cry? Of course he would.
What the fuck would I be doing touring my pec?
But if this happened to Pagan, he would show up to Crossing Broadcast. He'd hold the mic in the other hand and he would get through the show. Unlike Sniffles McGillicuddy. Who can't be bothered to do his job.
You're coming to my co-host all wrong. I don't appreciate your tone. I appreciate you guys coming on. I don't appreciate your tone. Thank you for everybody tuning in. I don't know how to sign off this show, but we will sign off like that. I appreciate you guys coming on. Appreciate everybody who listened. Thank you to the YouTube stream for dealing with us a half an hour late. Thank you to Daryl Morey for the haul he got for James Harden. Thank you to Nick Sirianni, Howie Roseman for what you guys did at the deadline. Thank you to you, the listener. We'll talk to you.